Well, I would appreciate your prayers. I'd like to think about the thought of stuff. Today's is, I believe, what they call Black Friday. And this is the day that you can increase your stuff. This is what it is. I heard somebody today make a comment about Black Friday, and they said, we just want to remind everybody that it's not worth going to jail over. People get pretty excited about things, and you'll hear on the news sometimes they'll run these Black Friday sales to where you can get maybe some big thing worth several hundred dollars, and they may have it marked down to $49.95, and that kind of inspires people to try to get there and get it and increase their stuff, and people can get passionate, and they can do things that you wouldn't normally want to do in trying to get there and outdo someone else because they do it on purpose. It's limited. It's not unlimited, it's limited, and they're only going to give out 50, or you can get, and so it makes it, if you can imagine, 500 people trying to get 50, it can get pretty hectic. But it's just stuff. It's just stuff, and we live in a very materialistic world, and there's probably nobody here that's not affected by stuff, and I've got a lot of stuff. If I was to go, over the years, when you live in a place, when we moved originally to the home that we're in, we had moved from a house trailer into this house, and we had closet space and attic spaces, and we had all of this space. It was just enormous space and closet, all these places. And now there's not much space left because there's a lot of stuff to put in these spaces. And not only outside or inside, there's things on the patio that really shouldn't be on the patio, and then I got some buildings and some places that I put stuff, and then I need another building because the buildings are full and it's all full of stuff. I just got stuff in there, and obviously I don't really have a Webster's Dictionary definition for stuff, but I know what it is. I know what stuff is, and it's plural. It's plural. It's not a singular. You wouldn't look to an item and say that's stuff. No, that's just one thing. But stuff is all of it. It's the accumulation of the objects that we have around, and we're all affected by it. And probably, I'm willing to say this, that probably everyone in here has more stuff than they need. I would be willing to say that most of you ladies in here have more clothes than you. I have more clothes than I need, but I would be willing to say that there's probably a desire. I'm not preaching against getting clothes. I'm just saying there's probably a desire that you have to have more, even though you've got more than you need. We live in a very materialistic time, and it's easy to look and say that would benefit me. I think I need that, and so I have lawn mowers to mow the grass with, but then I need a weed trimmer to trim, but then I got to having to chip stuff and cut stuff up, and I needed a chipper, a wood chipper. So I have a wood chipper. I like to garden, so I have a tiller, and I've got to put these things in places, and I got a lot of places, and I do some work on things, so I got tools. I've got saws. I got a chainsaw, but I've also got table saw. I've got hand saws. I'm just telling you what I've got. I've got a lot of stuff, but it's only stuff. But Lord, help us in our day and time. Stuff can be dangerous. The mentality that we have towards the world around us. Jesus really lived a life of example for us. He really did. And we are blessed, and we shouldn't throw that blessing away. We are blessed. But it needs to be put in a proper perspective of the blessings that we have. And what does the Lord really want us to do? And I assure you, it isn't getting entangled with stuff. The more stuff you have, the more you're caught by the stuff. To be faithful to the stuff. Yeah, I have all this stuff. The stuff has to be put in out of the weather, so it needs more shelter to put it in. It becomes more and more and more. And there's a heart to these things also. There's something important about stuff. So I want to start off with a scripture in Genesis. The 19th chapter of Genesis. Instead of reading it all, I just want to, I'll just recite some of the story of it to a certain verse. But this is the story, if you remember, of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot it all happened by the situation that Abraham's herdsman and Lot's herdsman was in a contention in the land. And Abraham comes to Lot, being Uncle Abraham, and says to Lot, "Lot, we're brethren. Let's not do this. We're brethren. Be contentious over this." Said, "I'll take mine and go one way, and you take yours and go the other way." And Abraham, being a wise head, you don't want to take advantage of your authority in place. It's kind of like we're going to split this cake in half, and I'm going to let you split it. I'll choose a half, but you split it. Well, if you split it off to the side, but no, you would be careful to split. So Abraham simply says, "Lot, you choose. Let's split, but you choose." And so it says that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He looked at Sodom. I don't know that the scripture says exactly why he did that, but I would assume it had a lot to do with stuff. My assumption is he was pointing towards the more stuff, the more potential. He was pointing to stuff, and the story goes down. It was a very wicked, evil city. Very wicked, evil city. Lot becomes a head in that. He actually prospered in the middle of this and becomes somebody important in there, and he goes down and he prospers in all this. But the Lord comes along and says, the stink of this place has come up before my nostrils. And I'm going to destroy this. And the whole story of Abraham, and if I can find so many righteous and all that, and he couldn't. And finally, it gets down to the point that the Lord's going to destroy it. And for Abraham's sake, God sends angels down there. And the story of that. And he goes down to get them, and they command them that we're going to go out of here and don't look back. We're going to take you out of here. And it comes to the time, and now urgency. I want to stress this. There's an urgency because God, the cup's full. The cup's full, and God's going to absolutely send wrath and destruction on this city. There is not time to tarry. There's no time to fool around with this. Come on, let's go. The angels actually get them and get them out of there. Let's go. Out of there they go, because the cup's full. God's wrath is coming down. Here comes the fire and brimstone. This place is going to be destroyed. And they're going to get out of there. Lord, help us not to have a bunch of baggage, not be too heavy to run, not have our minds off on something else. We're getting down to it now. Let's get serious in our souls about this. This is a time that you could be destroyed. Something, you're going to be hurt and harmed here. So they took him out. Well, the 26th verse of this reading, I'll say 25, it says, "And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." She was told not to do that. And I know the scripture doesn't go into all the details, but there's a New Testament scripture that's very interesting, and this we're going to get to, Jesus' own words. But she was commanded not to look back, but something had to be important. I mean, something that God's dealing with our hearts. More, there's times that things happen that it doesn't touch God, because it isn't a heart matter. But this was a heart matter. Didn't want them looking back, but something drew back, and I have to say, I've heard it speculated that it was the very activities of the place. But it doesn't say that, but it said look, in haste they run out. In what they were wearing, in what they had on, they were in a prosperous time and city and place. I wonder if they had some stuff. I wonder if there was some stuff involved. We have these CD collections. It's called the Old West Collections, and there's 10 volumes of the history of the Old West, starting with the Mountain Men, Volume 1. And it goes on to these different volumes, and it's very interesting, and we've listened to them so many times in our traveling all you know, across the country, all these different stories. One's about the lawmen, one's about the cities like Guthrie and stuff, how they were established and all. And one of them was the Oregon Trail. And on the Oregon Trail one, you know, it tells the whole story of the Oregon Trail and the people that went to Oregon, and from the east, from Ohio, different places, these people went out and they went to Independence, Missouri, and that was kind of the kickoff place. They got their wagon trains and they done all of this. And these people that came from these other places was carrying their life from the east, and they was going to the fertile valleys the Willamette Valleys and all of that in Oregon, and they had this big hope, and they're going all this, and they had this wagon, and it was packed down, right? Grandmother's chest of drawers, I mean, the big bed, I mean, they packed that wagon, and they're going to take it to Oregon. And they're taking off on this stuff, and I think it said in this story that the whole trail from a certain point was just strewn with I'm going to tell you, there was tears on that. I don't have to be told this. I know. I have a wife, and I know people, and I want to tell you, there's times they get, stuff is more important than just the wood it's made of. I mean, sometimes there's sentimental things hooked to it. There's family things hooked to it, and the trail has along there, because they got to a certain place and they started off with a team of six oxen or something, and now two of them's died, and you got two that's not got the pull the other ones had, and you get to a certain place and now you're not in the flatlands. Now you're starting to climb the mountains, and the things are getting harder, and it's getting harder, but the destination's still in hand. We're going to Oregon, or we're going to California, or we're going to the gold fields, or we're going to go somewhere, and we intend to get there, and it comes to a point that you're going to say, you're not going to get there with that. So what are you going to get rid of? And I'm going to tell you, alongside that road were many tears of people that had to jettison things that they didn't want to jettison, they didn't want to get rid of. But if you're going to go, you're going to get rid of it. You're going to have to let loose of the stuff. The stuff's not going to get you there. You're going to hang on to that. As the guy said today, don't go to jail over this. it's not that important. And Jesus being the example of our life, I'm going to ask you a question. What did he own of the material world? I know he had it all. He's the Son of God. But as the man Jesus, what did he have? What did he pack around with him? What material things did he put his heart on? Nothing. Birds have nests. Foxes have holes. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. There's things that God gives us to use. I want us to think about this morning, because there's a principle in the scriptures. This is the principle. There was a man that had a great debt. And he came before the master with a great debt that he could not pay. And the master forgave him a great debt. And then he went and had somebody that had a little debt to him. And he wanted to extract the whole debt. He wanted to exact that debt to that man. Until the master finds out. You want to get that when I've forgiven you all of this. There's a principle involved here that we don't really have anything that God don't give us. I want to tell you, your stuff was given to you by God. That's the principle. It's God's stuff. For us to take that stuff like it's our stuff, and I wouldn't get rid of this for anything. I wouldn't get rid of this to help anybody. I wouldn't share my stuff. There's a God of heaven saying, I gave you all this stuff, and you're going to keep a hold of it? It's not your stuff. It's my stuff. I'm giving you the stuff. In America, we have all the stuff, really, that you want. You can get stuff and stuff and stuff. We're very, at this time in history, we're very prosperous. We don't talk of inflation and can't put enough gas in the car and all that. Listen, I'm a realist about this. You ain't put enough gas in your car to do a lot of extra things that you don't really have to do anyway. I know, oh, yeah, this is a little higher, so I can't buy it. You can't eat that much more than you should eat to start with. But we're blessed. Very, very blessed. But this scripture here says that she looked back, and there has to be a wonderment about what drew her back and what it was that challenged God's deliverance for her. Willing to risk God's deliverance, a pull of the heart, something had me to the point. I'm going to tell you, stuff is going to cost people eternity in heaven. Stuff sometimes, I have known of people that get in fights over things. I remember a very vivid conflict between sisters over a picture that one said was supposed to be hers when mama died or grandmother died, and the other one said no, it was supposed to be her. And of all things, it was a picture of the depiction of Christ with an open heart bleeding, and that was enough to fight the sister over. That's puzzling. Because of what the picture meant. And you're going to fight my sister over that? I think one look at the picture and say, sister, you can have the picture. Because it was sign. Lord, help us. Things are, we got things. Stuff. So much stuff. In the book of Luke, Jesus' words here, 28th verse, says, likewise also, as it was in the day of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house. What's in the house? The stuff. Brother Ivan, you figure. You figure. What's in the house? The things that I've anchored who I am on. My stuff. My stuff. I wear a certain style of clothes. That's me. I got my clothes in there. I would say this, if the house was on fire and flaming, what would you run in for? They tell you, don't run in there. But you know, people will run in. They'll run in if there's something that's important enough to run in for. This scripture says that it's going to be like this, that they're going, are you on the housetop at this time? And your stuff's in the house? What's in the house? My stuff. Not my stuff. Oh no. My stuff. I really like that thing. I pack that flashlight around. I want to take that flashlight with me. No, that book. That it's autographed. That No, that thing, those things that I've got, it's got too much in there. We were hunters when I grew up, and my daddy told me, said, you kill a deer. I was with a barred rifle, but you kill a deer, and if you kill a deer, then I'll buy you a rifle, deer rifle. I killed a deer. My dad bought me a deer rifle. I still have it today. It's the deer rifle my daddy bought me. That's my stuff. I don't want that burning up. I'll go get that. That's my stuff. I've got other things that is around the house that's meaningful. I mean, there's stuff, and there's rooms full of important things. The drawers got stuff in them. My life is inside that house. It's all stuff. It says here that if you come to that time, folks, give up the stuff. Give up the stuff. Put a prayer request, Thanksgiving in a while ago, because my daughter had a wreck last night. It totaled the car. Thank God that it only totaled the car. You know, cars are replaceable. See, cars all over the place. Cars is just part of the stuff. Just part of the stuff. People shoot each other over things. They fight over things and over stuff. But this is saying, when you come to that point, don't. If your stuff's in the house, it says, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back to what? The stuff. The Lord's saying this for a reason, because he knows our hearts cling to things, momentums, and things can become important, and they can. I've got the same emotions you do. There's stuff. You know, there's nothing wrong with that in itself. What's wrong with that is the relationship that we have with God with stuff. What are you be willing to do with stuff? There was a man in the scriptures named Achan who had too much. He had too much thoughts towards stuff. He knew that he wasn't supposed to get the stuff. He knew that it was a commandment against it. He knew it was a bad idea. But the idea of the stuff was too much for him. Here it is. It's easy for me to get. And he got some stuff, and he hit it with his stuff. And he put it all in there, and that becomes something that was really, really important to him. But it cost him and his family dearly. Because that's not what we should be about, folks. It's not about the stuff. It's not about the blessings and the things that we got. It's about our relationship with the Lord. Lord, you come first in all of this. You know, do you know that Job had a lot of stuff? Now, Job had a lot of stuff. And it was under the title of being blessed by the Lord. God blessed him in his day and time with stuff. It was still God's stuff. God can take his stuff if he wants his stuff, but he blessed Job with stuff. And then if you remember the story, he even had children. I wouldn't necessarily put him with the stuff, but since it's plural, let's put it with the stuff. He had stuff. He had all of this stuff. He had camels and asses and sheep and about a thousands. And he had children, he had all this stuff, houses, all this stuff. And the Lord's, he's there, and here comes a messenger. And said, this happened. Before he quit speaking, here another one's come and said, and the Chaldeans fell on these, and fire fell on thee. And then one comes and says, your children are all gone. All gone. And he turns around and, my stuff. But you know what he said? The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's never about the stuff. He's got cattle on 1,000 hills. He can give you the stuff. And he's got the right to take it away. It's about the Lord. So in this passage in Luke, it sets that as the stage. If you own your house and your stuff's in the house, don't go and get it. If you're in the field, don't go back to get your stuff. And then it says, remember, one of the short scriptures of the Bible, remember Lot's wife. It makes me to think that that's the definition I'm looking for Genesis. What was she doing? She was lamenting her stuff. She left everything, and he's reminding us that when this time comes, don't make the mistake that Lot's wife made. That she looked back, longed back. How can I leave? How can I leave my stuff? I remember reading the story of John Wesley, one of his friends in England, a very, very rich man, asked him to go look at his property. It was the days of riding horses, and so they went and got on horseback, and his testimony was is that they rode the whole day long around this man's property. At the end of the day, in the sun setting, they rode up on a rise and looked over it all, and the man said to John Wesley, "So what do you think of that?" And his comment was, "Well, it sure would be hard to leave." Exactly. What are you going to do to keep it? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when it comes down that it's pressed to take it away? What kind of a place do you have there? Lord, help us. We live in such an age of things, and they'll affect us. And we'll make our very experience about these about the things. People are a certain position in life because of the things that they have and the place that they have. The Bible speaks against, you know, it's God knows what to do with people. God's got grace for rich people. God's got grace, and I'm going to say this. I know that probably nobody here is classifying yourself as rich, but you're not looking at relativity if you say that. Most everybody here, compared to the rest of the world, or at least three quarters of the rest of the world, and looking through all time, you're very rich. You have more than you need. You eat more than you need. You have the comforts more than it's ever had. We are very, very well off and very rich in this life at this time. But if we compare ourselves maybe to the neighbor that might have a bigger house than I have or a newer car or something like that, you may say he's got more than that. But that isn't the best way to look at it. The best way to look at it is through what God's doing for you in your life. We are very, very rich in this time. There's a familiar scripture over in Luke, the 18th, right there. I wanted to say something that struck me about Lot's wife. How close she got. That always stuck out with me. She almost made it, Brother Ivan. She was delivered. And she was on the threshold of the deliverance. Right there, close. How close. And she looked back. What is it is important in this life? I think you can put the stuff much more than just the things of this world. I think sometimes that the things that we've put our heart to and the things that we find enjoyment out of, we're all made in a specific way, and we all are looking for satisfaction and in that pursuit of that sometimes and able to get through life, we'll substitute things that really the Lord doesn't want us to substitute. I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord doesn't. We heard some of this, Brother Carl's telling us about last night. God don't want us to use substance to replace what He's supposed to be doing in our life. I can find some peace or satisfaction if I use a substance of this world sometime. The Lord don't want us to use a substance of this world. I had a young girl years and years ago, but a young girl, part of the family, and she had told me that she had quit smoking sometime before. Said the Lord talked to her, and she quit smoking. Well, I come back several months later, and she's smoking, and we had this kind of relationship. I could do it, so I said to her, "What are you doing?" "Oh yeah, I know," she says, "I know." And I said, No. I mean, there's got to be an answer here. Because either you're disobedient or God changed his mind. And it's going to be really difficult to convince me here of this. About God changing his mind about what you said, he told you this, so now what about this? I said, "Yeah, I know, I'm back to smoking and this and that." And I said, "Do you know what's the worst thing about smoking?" I know, it's bad for your health, and this and this. No. That's all bad, and it's not the worst. You know what the worst thing is? I said, "What do you do every time something happens, you get nervous?" "I gotta have a cigarette." "What happens when you get a phone call or something's trauma?" "I gotta have a cigarette." I said, "The bad thing is that you're substituting Christ with a cigarette. This is your Christ. I'll get relief by this." "What do you all do when you get a call like that?" "I know what we do. I know what I got to do when things get really like that. I got to go talk to the Lord about it. I got to get some help for my soul that way. I got to deal with it that way. God don't want us to put a substance in the place of what the Lord's supposed to be doing with us. And he don't want us to have things in there. You know, the scripture teaches us about laying up treasures on this earth. He wasn't funning about that. There's something wrong with the laying up a treasure. It becoming valuable. My stuff being what I'm about and all that. Thank God for what we got. I thank God for the blessings and the things that I can use and have. I thank God for it. But that's all that it can be. Just what God has blessed me with. It's just stuff. And I can't risk anything for the stuff. And God don't want me using a substance to kick me up, to kick me down. You know, there's a story about some of these entertainers like Elvis Presley and some of them, what Brother Carl was talking about, horror last night. This is what I thought about some of the horror. Some of these entertainers get into a world to where they need a lot of energy. Not only a lot of energy, they need a lot of upping. And so what they do is that they, before their shows, they take uppers. They take drugs to get them up. There's a problem with that. The show ends. And now they got to come down. But they're drugged up and they can't come down. So they're wired. So in order to sleep, they take downers. Then the next day they're so down, depressed, down, in order to do the next night show, uppers. They take uppers. Can I tell you something? God can give you an upper that isn't addictive. Amen. And God can bring you back down when you're getting too high. And it ain't addictive. Amen. That's the substance. God is to be our substance. He doesn't want us following substance. And he doesn't want us to take the world's entertainment to numb life. There's so much out there. I mean, you can go now. I mean, technology has it, so just about everything that's ever been done is at your disposal. You can watch, listen, you can do all this kind of stuff, and it's on hand, and it's part of the stuff. It is part of the stuff. This is stuff. It's stuff, and there's stuff on it. And it's stuff, and I can take this, and I can entertain myself, and don't have to think about realities, and I can go into some other world, I can do something else, instead of dealing with stuff, and that's what I do, with the stuff. It's all stuff. Stuff can be dangerous. The Lord doesn't want us to go off into those kind of places. Well, I'll just entertain myself out of this place. I'll just not have to think about these kind of things. I think everybody in here wants something happening in your life. I'd be very surprised if anybody really likes just the humdrumity of life. We like to have things going. I like to look forward to something. You like to have a family thing. You like to do something. There's good, wholesome things to do, for sure. But then there's a lot of the world out there, just stuff. Stuff that is designed for that very purpose. It's not wholesome. It's not right. It's not good. It doesn't give you a better character. It doesn't make you think better. It doesn't do all those things. All this stuff. Lord, have mercy. We live in a day and time that we have so much. I really can't help from thinking, Lord, what do you really want me to be doing other than accumulating stuff? What do you really want me to do with the stuff? Over in Luke 18:18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all your stuff. I never really thought about it this way before, necessarily. That little bit just always went by me. Sell your stuff. Not take what money you got in the bank. He said, sell your stuff. Liquidate all your stuff. What's all your stuff mean? I'm not supposing that I go back to the point. I've got these friends in Pakistan and Africa and different places. And I've seen a lot of their they'll FaceTime, and I get to see what they do and stuff. And most all of them that I talk to, they don't even know what a wash machine is. They don't know what a washboard is. They ain't using a washboard. They're washing clothes literally by hands, washing and scrubbing them by hands and wringing them out, and that's the way they do their laundry. They don't have the piles of laundry that we have, but then they do their laundry. That's the way that they do, that's the way they work and do their laundry and those kind of things. They don't know what these other things are. I got a wash machine at home that's not working right, and guess the folks over there ain't having to fool with the wash machine. It's me that's going to have to take up a good bit of my time. I'm not suggesting you all would think that and be rightly so if you said in this time world and where we're at now that Brother Marty's making his wife wring out clothes. That's not what God's put us in. I'm just saying I have to deal with it because that's what I have. And when I have enough, I'm falling with it all the time. The scripture teaches us about the ox that falls in the ditch. Of course you're going to get the ox out of the ditch, and you're going to miss service to do it, because everybody would get the ox out of the ditch. And one man with one ox, it sounds very likely that the right answer to that would be get the ox out of the ditch. But I want to tell you, when you get a herd of 1,000 oxen, forget service, because there's going to be an ox in the ditch all the time. You get enough oxen, they're going to be in there. Brother Ivan, you ever had enough cattle that they get through the fence? Have you ever had any fence? You ever have that? You had one, he might stay in there. And you say, well, I had one, but you get enough of them, and I push the fence and there and there. And after that, well, there's issues with everything. I'm just making this point. Stuff. Lord, help us stuff. So the Lord, loving this man and talking with him, said to him, Thou lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor. Liquidate what you have. Sell what you have. Give it to the poor. I'm challenged by these things for my life, at my time in life, and knowing that I've turned 60 and I'm pushing towards the end of this thing, I kind of want to say to the Lord, I've done something, I want to do something, and to get at the end of it and say, I've got all the stuff I could gather, Brother Carl. I've got stuff, and Lord, for you, I've gathered all this stuff up, and I've got stuff that my children can fight over. I made a good way for my children to fight over a bunch of stuff that's out here. Maybe there's something more that the Lord would want us to do than to take the material world that we're in and take it to gain all that we can come from this material world. But Lord, help me to use what's practical and purpose for me in this time, and help me to be faithful to the Spirit of God. Help me to do what you would have me to do to gain souls for the kingdom of God. To be able to reach out and help those that are in need and to do something for someone out there. It's more than just collecting of stuff. Stuff's everywhere. I'll testify to you. It's hard not to be guilty. I've got muck boots. I got two pairs of leather boots. I don't think I can tell you all of it. I got some boots that fit into my fishing waders. I've got black dress shoes. I got one pair of brown dress shoes. I've got some Nike tennis shoes hanging in the closet. I got some tennis shoes that I wear if I'm going to town. And I've got some shoes to wear if I'm going to be outside and playing but not working. And I've got...
Me too.
Brother Jim White told the story of his growing up. And they tried to splurge. And he had a shirt that he wore regularly. And he had a shirt that he went to school in. Makes two. That was what they lived with. That's the way they lived in his time. And that's what they had. Would anyone venture a guess at how many shirts I have? How many pairs of pants I have? I've got jeans enough, because I do a lot of work, so I got a lot of stained up jeans, dirty jeans in the drawer, but they all won't fit in that drawer. So there's a place over here that they fit some of them in, and then I got jeans that's better for if I don't want to look greasy and that. So I got a drawer that has some nice stuff in nicer stuff in that drawer, and then it's all full. My point is, it's all full. How much is enough? What all do we really need? I'm not telling you how what the Lord wants to do with your individual personal life, but I know there's things that God wants to do. I don't think God's quit. I think there's people that need to be touched. There's things to do. I think there's a blessing of God on it. Lord, help us not to just get wrapped up in the material world. And want this and want this and want this. I have a .410 shotgun, the first gun that I ever owned. My dad bought me when I started squirrel hunting. And then I have a .22 Magnum that I got off my uncle. I have an ADMM that I got and reworked. I have a .30-06 that someone got me for a present. I have a muzzle loader that they bought me for a present, a 50 caliber muzzle loader. I got a rack full, got an air rifle. I got all this. Recently, my son says to you, I know what you need, Dad. You need this certain 44-70 or what. I mean, and I said, no, I don't. I don't need it. But you know what? There's a part of me says, man, that would be nice. That would be nice. But I don't need that. Lord, help us today to measure ourselves by the standards of what the Lord has given us, the gauges that He's given us in life to do it, to say, what do you really care about? You know, if you're honest of heart, it doesn't have to be described out. If you're honest in heart. I remember reading a book one time of a guy that said that what you spend your money on is the number one gauge to what you think is important in life. And he made the point to say, and I can go into someone's home. Basically, I can go in, and if I go into a and he says, look here, at I got this gun cabinet wall, and I've got thousands of dollars of guns in here, and I got trophies on the walls, and I do this, and this is what money I spent. Then it's obvious to say that's what's important to you. Obvious. The guy also said, go look at somebody's library. Now, that's a different day than we was in, but he said, do you want to know what somebody's interested in? Go to their library. See what they got books about. And you'll find out real quick about what the man also said. What is it, I have used this so many times, what is it that when the pressures of life are off, you've ended your day, and now you lay your head down and you can think about anything you want to think about. You're not pressured by anything to think anything. I want to challenge you with this. Try this. See what you automatically think about. What is it that's going on in your life? What is it that you automatically think about when you lay your head down and you're clear to think about anything you want to, and see if you start thinking about what the next best investment is? I'm not saying it's evil. I'm just saying you'll tell yourself where your heart's at. When you start saying and start planning for how I'm going to do this or do this, and that's the routine of every time I get a chance to think what I want to think on my own, this is what I'll think, you'll find out where your heart's at. It's a good gauge. When you get to that point and your mind goes to, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for the day that you've given me. Thank you. Or I go meditating into a thought that the Lord has given me. If you go to thinking in some of the trouble that you do and let your mind run about maybe I should have punched that guy in the nose, or maybe I should have did this, or I should have told him how I felt, or all those kind of things, you'll tell yourself what you're really thinking about those kind of things. But we live in a very materialistic world that has touched every one of us. So today there was a little bit of a warning about the materialistic world that we are in, that we can get so wrapped up into, that we can care so much about the materialistic world that that's what we spend our time and effort and energy on. And nobody is to blame, and there is no flashing lights on this or anything else, but this is what is the undercurrent of our lives, is to getting the material things, doing all of the material things and all those kind of things. And Lord, help us. There's a balance in life of these things, and the Lord wants us to balance it. He comes first in everything that we do. And if you look back in the Scriptures, you'll find that stuff has been a very important part all the way through. When Cain made his sacrifice, he didn't want to get rid of his good stuff. When King Saul got in trouble, it was because they looked at the stuff and said, I am not willing. Now, he blamed it on the people, but they took the best stuff and they could not imagine getting rid of that stuff. And they kept the stuff. Achan goes in and he couldn't imagine. There's stuff. Oh, what are you going to do? Over and over and over, you'll find out in there. But you want to know? I'm going to tell you something. Look in the Scriptures and find the principle. Because there was principles of godly men. Daniel was one of them, that they come and said, you'll be rewarded for this, for telling this dream. And he said, let your treasure be for you. He didn't accept the reward that was given, but said, keep your reward. It's stuff that doesn't benefit me. Do you remember? I believe it was Elisha. When Naaman came to him to be healed of leprosy, he brought a great reward with him. You remember what happened? He turned it down. Why? Does he not need stuff? No. He didn't need stuff. If he needed stuff, he'd have said, thank the Lord. I don't need to be entangled with that. I'm going to tell you something else involved in that. It was the politics of it. He didn't want him to feel obligated to anything. Hey, wait a minute. We paid you a lot for this. No, I've got one that I serve, and it is not you. So I'm not influenced by that. I wish our politicians was that way. Do you remember that story? What did his servant get his eye on? The stuff. He looked at that and said, if there's a way, can't believe the master turned that down. All this stuff. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Got this great big box packed full of stuff. Oh, what could be in there? Let's look and see. Can't wait to see that. Whoa, the stuff that's in there. We go to my daughter's place in Alabama, and they have, close to where they have a, I don't know, it's a shipping thing where the shipping's not picked up, and they, it's all new stuff, and it's brought in huge boxes, and then they start off like the first day, it's, you go in there, just huge amounts of stuff everywhere. But you can go in, and there's like, I think it's $7 one day, and then like the next time it's $5, and the next time it's like $3, but anyway, it goes down, and all of this stuff is brand new stuff, and you go in and you get it, and it's discounted. I mean, I've got $30 things for $3. I mean, and boy, when you get to a place like that, I mean, you're ready to get a big box, a big bag, and start filling it up with things that you don't need. You don't need them. Well, I got a chain, I got a $25 chainsaw chain for $5. I mean, you know, it was, that's something I would have paid for anyway. But I'm going to tell you, do you know that there is a line outside the door before the place opens? You know there is. I don't have to tell you, you know there is. Of course there is. And the reason is, there's stuff in there. Stuff that I might want. I mean, stuff to look at. Stuff to... I go in, I like to talk to the people. I'll take one round. I'm not a shopper. So I take one round and go around, and then I usually like to talk to people. And, oh boy, it is funny to see some of those people. And I did get this big row. I mean, this big row of the heavy wheat trimmer string. The big row. And it was very expensive, and I was coming around with it. I didn't have a trimmer, but I was going to get one. That was one of the added things I was wanting to sell. And when I seen this for this price, I knew this was like a big roll of it. It was going to be very expensive. And this was like a $5 a day or a $3 a day. And I said, oh, this is this. So I'm around talking, and finally a guy says, man, you got a deal on that. And I said, yeah. He said, I do a lot of trim. I got several trimmers. I trim as a, you know, got a business. I trim and all this, you know, and he does his trimmer. And he said, that's a, man, you got a deal on that. And that costs, and he told me, I said, wow, really? And I said, well, you know what's funny? I don't have a trimmer. Really? I said, no, I was going to get one, and I'm going to get one that fits this. That's only going to buy one that fits this. And then I said, would you like to have this? And he said, man, I'd use that. And I said, have at it here. I don't. Just stuff. Come on. It's just stuff. I was glad to bless this guy with that. It's fine. It's just stuff. You know, I thank God for the stuff that God has blessed us, and we can have the convenience of things and all that and that. But folks, we got to put this stuff in perspective. Right. Just put it in perspective. It's just stuff. I like to tell this story, but my youngest sister, Robin, she got her a brand new car. She needed it, and she got a new car, and it wasn't long after that that, oh, I'm going to tell on him. He's not here, but I'm going to tell him because I believe it was him. It was Brother Jerry Milo, I think is the one it was that ran into her car. Brand new, too. I mean, brand new car. And, oh, was he so, oh, you run into somebody's new car. I remember my sister, it was such a good attitude about it. She told him, he said, Brother Jerry, don't worry about it. It's just a car. It's just, come on, it's just a car. That's it. It's not worth giving anything else for. It's just a car. And one of these days, we're going to give up all this stuff, all of it. one of these days we're going to be going along and the Lord's going to call. It's going to be like those going to Oregon, and you're going to have to start jettisoning this stuff. Listen, it don't make no difference anymore anyway. Here. It's a distribution time. It don't matter now. I'm too far going. Now, brother, there's going to be a time that I'm not going to be able to see across the sights of those guns. There's going to be a time I'm not going to be able to lift them or walk them into the woods. There's going to be a time that all the value that they had is going to be gone. It's going to be gone. I'm going to tell you what's the only thing that's going to last is the love and relationship you have with Christ is the only thing that's going to make a difference about anything. And at the end of it, don't get your heart on the stuff, because the stuff is just going to be fleeting anyway, and away it goes. And this world is so wrapped up in the idea of stuff. There's people that collect cars, Brother Carl. How many cars can you drive at one time? How many houses do you live in at one time? Just one. I mean, you can't go with your foot in one car and you're driving. You use one car. That's all you can use. Lord, help us not to get wrapped up in stuff. You pray for me.